Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is our July 4th edition of 2018, July 4th radio show, coming live from Florida for you guys today. It's Wednesday. We still figured we do shows all during the week, and we didn't want to deprive our audience of more news and everything else that's going on right now. First thing I wanted to do to start off this is, I've never done this on the show before, but of course a lot of people have not read it. I want to remind everybody about the Declaration of Independence, as most people, like I said, do not read it. The first six lines of the Declaration of Independence, as some have heard, some may not have heard, as sad as that is, and it goes as this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to they seem shall seem fit, most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So just want to start off with that today. Is we have to remind everybody that we do still live in probably the greatest country on earth, and we still have more freedoms than most other countries on earth, but that still does not give us the opportunity to sit back and take them for granted and allow more of our rights and freedoms to be trampled on, all on the premise of other countries don't have that. We have to remember why we were founded, what we were founded on, and the beliefs, principles, and godly values that we should still be based on, Dad. So other than that, how are you doing today?
Doing great. What a wonderful way to start off a 4th of July show. Thank you, everybody, for listening today.
Thank you.
It's raining here in Florida again. Actually, the weather patterns are returning to what they were when I was a child. As odd as that is with all the chemtrails, it's raining like every afternoon, like 2 to 3, 4 o'clock, like it used to do when I was 10 years old, and it's cooling the afternoons off. So the weather here is actually quite nice again outside. It's probably in the high 70s right now, and humid, as it always is. I want to clarify one thing real quick. Yesterday, we did a really good show, if you didn't hear it, and I talk about purchasing cars. I said something yesterday, but I used an incomplete sentence, which every once in a while I do because my brain works faster than my mouth sometimes. I said that I have a dealership, a Honda dealership. I stopped the sentence there. I didn't mean to say I owned a Honda dealership. I have a Honda dealership that I know the owner of. And the owner, basically, when I send people to him, gives them good prices as long as I work with the salesperson to make sure that it gets done properly. I have no ownership, no vested interest, no commissions, no spiffs, nothing from the dealership when I refer people to them. I just wanted to let you guys know that, because I'm a nutrition guy. I'm a naturopath, and I've been doing this for 37 years. Though, if I were going to own a dealership, probably Honda and Toyota would be the two, and probably Chevrolet. Those are the ones I'd really want to own. Those are the ones that I think make pretty good cars. The only difference is, I didn't say this yesterday, look your car up that you want to buy. There are depreciation schedules for most automobiles. You can get them online to find out what the value of the vehicle is going to be. Let's just, some of you guys are pretty high rollers. Let's say you want to buy a brand new Cadillac Escalade for $105,000 Platinum Edition. Well, you could probably buy that same car a year old for about $65,000 with, you know, like 20,000 miles. I've seen it done. And so you end up not losing that 35-40% hit the first year on the value of the car. Then it kind of stays pretty close to there, between 65 and 60 to 55 to 50 for 2 or 3 years after that. That's the kind of deal you want to do if you're going to flip in and out of cars. If you're going to really stay in a good point with your car as far as equity, it's better to stay with base model things like Honda Accords or like one model up. Don't believe the dealership that you can get all of these other options, get another $20,000 worth of options, and that car will hold the resale value. It will not. The higher the car goes, the more depreciation is on the curve. Period. End of story. That's just the way it is. Okay? And the problem that you have, let's say, for instance, if you want to buy a Corvette, let's say you want to buy a year-old Corvette. Year-old Corvettes are good cars to buy because they've already taken that first 10 or 15 or 20% depreciation curve. But be very careful with models that don't have a book preference on them. Let me give you an example. Callaway is an aftermarket modeler, basically, for Corvette and for a lot of other manufacturers. There are no books in the NADA value charts that basically give Callaway as an option. So if you buy a Z06 Corvette with a Callaway option, you pay extra $20,000 or $30,000 for that car. When they look up the car to see what it's worth a year, 2 years, 3 years later, whatever, they're going to only look up a Z06 Corvette. The Callaway option doesn't even appear. They will not give you a single penny more for that expensive option, period. That's it. So just be very careful that whenever you put an option on a car like that, you go to the Chevrolet dealership and you look at Camaros or whatever, that the car that you're buying, the equipment that you're buying, is going to be in an NADA book or is going to be recognized by the car dealerships. And you can always ask them to look it up for you. So tell them if you're going to buy a 2018 Callaway Corvette, say, what is a 2017 Callaway Corvette going for right now through the books, or a 16? And they'll tell you that if they're a legitimate dealer. If they don't want to talk to you about what they're worth, then you don't want to buy the car from them. By the way, last night I watched a movie on the CIA running drugs into the United States using the FBI as an interagency group to be with them so they could operate on American soil. And it kind of shows, I believe the name of the movie was Sicario. It's an R-rated movie. It's got some bad language in it. Don't let the kids watch it. But I wanted to watch that because I'm going to talk about it on the show today. This one came out in 2015. There's a sequel in the right now in the movie theaters. But, you know, we have to understand something that's going on in Mexico right now. 132 politicians. And the reason I'm doing this is Mexico is south of our border. Okay, we're not talking about Iraq now. We're talking about next to Texas, okay? We're talking right there.
Yeah.
132 politicians were killed in the run-up to the national, state, and local elections. That's not exaggeration. That's somebody they've murdered. Mexico elected far-left anti-Trumper Andrés López Obrador, known as AMLO, and as their new president on Sunday. In the 9 months leading up to the elections, 132 politicians have been killed as thousands of thousands of federal, state, and local officials and offices were on the ballot. A risk of assessment firm reported that 48 of the victims were candidates. The rest included party workers. In addition, the country's homicide rate in 2017 was the highest on record, with more than 25,000 killings registered by the government, not including the killings that weren't registered by the government. Now, the thing we have to understand is this. One of the most shocking deaths occurred earlier this month when a congressional candidate was posing for a photo with someone. Ferdinando Perón had just left a debate in the northern state of Cholula where he had vowed to tackle crime as a man walked up to him from behind, just shot him in the head and killed him. Perón was a member of the Institutional Revolutionary Party, I'm sure communist again, Mexico's main party, according to the report. The party's lost 12 politicians to attacks, the most deaths of all. Now, Mexico's gone full-blown communism now, which is not going to help the problem they have in Mexico whatsoever. Look at Venezuela. But we also need to realize that Mexico's new president also has the energy sector on edge, because remember, they're an oil producer. So now he's talking about all kinds of blockades, what he may do as far as crude oil production. He has no idea what he's doing, to be honest with you. The guy's a complete and total moron. And, look at this. Again, Mexico detains... This is from NBC News. Mexico detains the town's entire police force days after the mayoral candidate's killing. I mean, this entire town's police force has been detained for an internal investigation. Be very, very careful if you go to Mexico this summer for vacation. I'm including Cancun, which they are now finding people that have been sacrificed with their hearts removed in Cancun, beheaded, all of the rest. Be very, very careful to stay in the tourist areas and not to travel outside of the areas. Years ago, Austin was really young. We were down in Mexico when we were visiting in Cancun, and we wanted to go to some of the pyramids, probably a 2 or 3 hour drive away. And I remember I couldn't even get anybody else. There were like six of us wanted to go. Nobody wanted to rent a car, or a van, and because nobody wanted responsibility in a third world country. And I told them, I said, I'll be happy to rent the car. I said, but, you guys are going to have to, make sure that I don't get arrested, signed up, and put in a Mexican jail. I said, I don't want to be involved in any of this. Other than that, people don't realize, how bad this is in Mexico right now. And this was years ago. And Austin was with us. He probably doesn't remember. And so we were driving along on this road, and they were trying to get me to speed. And I said, guys, I'm not going to speed. I don't want to be thrown into a Mexican jail. So the next question I'm going to ask you this. And this is an interesting question. Roan said this one time. Jim Roan. E.J. Roan. R-O-H-N. Great YouTube videos. Watch him for free. He's gone now. May he rest in peace. Good friend of mine. Changed my life. Him and Zig Ziglar. But he said this very simply. He said, if you really think a person is a friend, a real friend, who would you call if you ever got locked up in a Mexican jail and you knew that you only had one phone call and you had to get somebody to get you out? That's the question to ask. What kind of friend would do that for you? And by the grace of God, I probably have about five people that would do that for me. But my whole goal is not to get locked up in a Mexican jail. In fact, Mexico's president-elect is actually shunning his own guards now because he's afraid they're going to kill him. He's asking the people for protection. President-elect Lopez, whatever his, I'm not going to give his whole four letters out all the time, left the country's National Palace on Tuesday in the front passenger seat than to drive in their official cars. He was swarmed by hundreds of jubilant supporters, including one waving a live rooster. That's interesting. I guess supporters in Mexico wave live roosters at you. I guess that's some. I don't make this stuff up, guys. I just read it. Just claiming victory on Sunday, the leftist politician has promised transformative changes for Mexico to bring them into a full communist mindset and mind state. His plan to travel without armed guards. I'm sorry, guys. I remember, what was it, Taft, when Taft went down to Mexico back 100 years ago. I think he took 4,000 troops with him to protect him. His plan to travel without armed guards has sparked worry in some quarters about his safety on the heels of Mexico's deadliest year since modern records began. The people will protect me, he says. Well, this guy's dumber than a box of rocks on top of everything else. Okay, guys, here's the thing. If I'm president of Mexico and I'm telling everybody I'm a hardcore communist and blah, 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 I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to vet all the troops. I'm going to have them done. I'm going to do an internal investigation on my Praetorian Guard. I'm going to have a Praetorian Guard like the Caesars had. And everywhere I go, there'll be a wall of humans and bulletproof shielding around me. And I will probably go everywhere with about 200 or 300 troops with fully armed machine guns. Now, guys, this guy is Looney Tunes. He's Looney Tunes. Like, I guess that's why they're waving roosters at him. I don't know. But the whole thing is this, guys. We've got to really pray from the south of the border because Mexico's pretty much in a full-blown civil war. I mean, they're in anarchy down there. They're in an absolute total mess. And now this four-worded president, I'm not going to read his long name out again, he's basically saying that all Mexicans have a right to storm the border and just basically go into the United States. Maybe he's thinking because of what happened a couple hundred years ago with Santa Ana and all the other kind of stuff, or 150 years ago. I don't know. Maybe he thinks it used to be, you know, Mexican territory, which a lot of it was. I'm not even going to argue about that. But the reality is this. You know, you can't just take millions of people in from Mexico. Though I will say this, and I said this before. If I lived in Mexico and I wasn't part of the ruling elite living in one of their haciendas, I would probably be very much interested in getting out of Mexico and getting across the border into the United States, including through one of their tunnel systems they have, which would simply go underneath one of Trump's walls. But the reality is this. If we simply stop giving them free everything when they get here, it will make a huge, huge difference as far as the amount of people coming here. But remember, a lot of people look at it like this. A lot of people believe that they would rather live in the United States even if they got put into prison than they would live in the United States, because even in a prison, they're safer, they have a better lifestyle, and they're not worried about getting their throats cut every night when they go to bed. And they're not worried about getting hit by stray machine gun fire. So, unbelievable, Austin. What do you think?
Well, it puts it in a quandary, too, because you see it from both sides. Because, you know, on one aspect of it, it's like, yes, if you live down there, you absolutely, in most cases, especially in those really rough areas, you know, you'd want to get out of there. But on the other hand, too, you see exactly what has happened when a lot of those individuals that are violent, a lot of those individuals that are criminal, that have no remorse for life, they don't care about human life. I mean, walk up behind, you know, basically a representative, shoot them in the back of the head. I mean, just don't care. And they get to the United States, and then we see what's going on in South Los Angeles. We see what's going on with the MS-13 gang members. We see what's going on with these pockets in Texas where they're having cartel members drop off decapitated bodies and, you know, dismembered bodies in dumpsters. This isn't like movie land fairy tale stories. This is stuff they do on a regular basis, daily basis. This occurs all the time now. So we we have to understand that, you know, in order to keep the United States a safe country, we have to protect it from an outside invading force, which would be a lot of the cartel, a lot of these gang members, a lot of these drug smugglers, because in most cases, as Dad saw in that movie yesterday, I've seen that movie before, it's intense, and it shows you the real aspect of how little these individuals value life. They just simply don't care. It's nothing for somebody else to get shot or gutted or macheted. It's just nothing. It's like it on a daily basis. So when you bring that ideology and you bring it into a first world country where we still have law, we still have ethics, we still have morals in some cases, and we still value people's lives, it starts to bring society down, just like we've seen in over from the Middle East invading into Europe. Exact same concept. We see the same issues going on in war-torn countries that we basically bombed, like Syria and so forth, where people over there have very little value for life. They're in constant fight. They're constantly killing people. You bring them into very upscale first world countries like Germany, and now all of a sudden you see that bad company always corrupts good character. It says that in the Proverbs. You never see an instance where you bring in a plethora of bad company, and all of a sudden the good company says, come on, guys, we'll just keep bringing you up. We'll bring you up. We'll bring you up. And finally the bad company goes, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. You're really all right. I want to be good company now. I want to be a good person. Let's go ahead and do that. You rarely ever see that instance happening unless you have a very skewed percentage rate where you have a large, large amount of a good population and a very small population of bad people. So that's just to break it down lightly. So that's exactly what he's talking about here. For a perfect example, too, right across the water in Sweden now, the Swedish government has now stated they will be holding an emergency meeting today to discuss the explosion of crime and gang shootings across the country. Justice Minister Morgan Johnson is set to speak with National Police Commissioner as violent crimes reach record highs in the Scandinavian nation. Statistics show Sweden saw a record 43 gun-related homicide deaths in 2017, and basically in 2018 they said they're on track to have even higher. Malmo, one of Sweden's most migrant-heavy cities, is responsible for a significant portion of the crimes. They said that six men were shot and three were killed in a drive-by shooting just in mid-June. Despite its incredibly strict gun laws, Sweden has some of the highest levels of shooting deaths in Europe. The increase in violent crime has originated primarily among Sweden's migrant communities who have immigrated to the country from Africa and the Middle East. Now, I want to pull up today country by country because I wanted to see what Sweden's gun laws actually were. Because I see this going on now, and I kind of, you know, it's pretty, you can get online, you can pretty much find out any country's basic gun laws. In Sweden, only licensed registered gun owners can lawfully acquire, possess, or transfer firearm or ammunition. So you have to have a license in Sweden to even possess a firearm. Applicants for a gun owner's license in Sweden are required to establish a genuine reason to possess the firearm. For example, hunting, target shooting, collection, and or self-defense. However, it even stated here on gunpolicy.org, the policy of receiving a gun owner license permit for self-defense has it's not granted. It's totally in practice as far as what it talks about, but people are not granted it for that specific reason. So an application for a firearms license in Sweden must pass a background check, which considers all criminal and mental health records. In Sweden, authorities maintain a full record of every individual and their license to acquire, possess, sell, or transfer firearm or ammunition. Licensed firearm owners in Sweden are permitted to possess only one firearm per license. Meaning if you want to buy another firearm, you have to reapply for an entirely another gun license. Licensed firearm owners in Sweden are permitted to possess only limited ammunition that is suitable for that specific firearm they are intended to basically be licensed for. So if they are licensed to have a 9mm Glock 17, and that's what they got permitted and licensed for, if they get caught with 45 caliber ammunition, they go to jail, just to put that in perspective right there. So this leads me back to what we're seeing in Sweden right now with this massive rise in shootings and gun homicides. they have incredibly strict gun laws that obviously are not working, just like they do not work in any other country when they're implemented. The citizens go through background checks. The citizens basically get permitted. The citizens go through rigorous paperwork to try to get their license so they can own a firearm. And at the same time, the criminals get them off the black market and are shooting up other rival gang members and other migrants and other African people that are coming in there. And that's what's going on now. So again, it's a perfect example of how gun control does not work, Dad, but it's sad to see that that's what's happening in Sweden now, to the point they're actually having an emergency meeting today to figure out what to do to handle the rise in shootings and violent crimes over there now.
Well, the problem is they're run by a bunch of socialists, and the socialists mm-hmm. have done this, what they've done. This, Sweden was one of the most, this is a very strong Lutheran country, and it was pretty much debt-free 100 years ago, one of the best places in the world to live, with, along with some of the most beautiful women in the world, quite frankly. And, you know, and they had just tremendous standard of living. I mean, it was amazing what they had going on for them in Sweden. But then the leftists took over, and the political right people, political activists, and the political, you know, proponents of communism, the political proponents of socialism, and the whole thing with, you know, political correctness took over Sweden. And again, they said, well, we'll go ahead and remember, this is a NATO country. This is also part of the European Union as far as their guidelines that they're set behind. And they end up in a situation where they're bringing in literally millions of refugees. And remember, the population of this country is only around, I think, about 6 or 8 million people to start with. And they brought in millions of migrants now. So, I mean, they have really skewed their population base. And it's sad to me, but this is again what happens when you have bad political leadership. It goes back to the Declaration of Independence that you read earlier, Austin. It says that whenever a country finds out that their government basically is the pits, you know, we got the right to replace them. You know, we have the right to replace them. And see, the people in Washington, here's the thing they've lost here on the 4th of July. They've lost the fact that they work for us, that they're hirelings, that they are not our overlords. They don't get that. They think they're our overlords, and they're all part of this great institutional program that run the people of the United States that are too stupid to vote for the right people in Washington. For instance, Senator John McCain, according to one of his aides now, is supposed to be resigning either today or tomorrow to allow Trump to have somebody nominated for the Senate seat there in Arizona to prevent having another election for the Senate in Arizona in November to allow this new person to come in until 2020 to allow him to have the ability to pick a Supreme Court justice. Now, whether John McCain, the incredible lowlife of the Senate, is willing to do all of this, even though he's on his deathbed, I don't know. I hope that's a true story that I've read, and I've tried to vet it for 4 or 5 different sources, so I'm hoping he's actually stepping out now, realizing that he's almost dead. So the reality is this. Because the people that are running the government, including all of the pro-Hillary John McCains, write the history books at this point, along with the Rothschild boys, they're probably going to write up a really good history about John McCain and what a wonderful patriot he was. That's all a bunch of lies. He was not. And I've talked about it on the shows. I am so glad he's out of the picture now. By the way, the Trump administration, this is huge news, huge news. Trump administration is planning on revoking and may have already revoked the Obama's pro-affirmative action guidelines, moving towards Chief Justice Roberts' views that the way to stop discrimination on the basis of race is to stop discriminating on the basis of race. That's pretty simple. That simple and correct formulation exposes how racial discrimination in the name of anti-racial discrimination perpetuates discrimination against races. It's a problem inherent in affirmative action based on race, which, whatever the goals, is a form of racial discrimination. The Trump administration just took a big step towards incorporating Justice Roberts' wisdom on racial discrimination. In fact, the New York Times reports that they will encourage the nation's school superintendents and college presidents to adopt race-blind admission standards, abandoning an Obama administrative policy that called on universities to consider race as a factor in diversifying their campuses. That's what the administrations are saying. Now, let me tell you about this. I'm just going to be real frank with all of this. Quite frankly, here's how I look at it. They're going to have problems in these school systems anyhow, because of the socialism and the political correctness, people are going to start putting on their applications that they're black females or Hispanic females. I'm talking about white people doing this now. And whatever they want to do to try to get the plus, plus, plus from the affirmative action. And they can say, well, when I filled out the application that day, I identified as a black female. Well, you're a white male. Yeah, but I felt like I was a black female today. So I felt like I was Oprah Winfrey today. I wanted to be Oprah Winfrey today, so I was going to be Oprah Winfrey today when I fill out the forgot that. But you, and you told me, I mean, I've got all these gender pronouns now, so I can be 40 different things if I want. You know, it doesn't make any difference. Yeah. You can't tell me what I can and can't be. This is what they've done to themselves. They've put themselves in the snare now that they can't even trust their own applications because they don't know how somebody's identifying that day. Yep. So basically segmenting the population based upon racial preferences is nonsense. Now, back in the 60s and the 70s when this stuff started, I got that, okay? Because a lot of schools were against having black people in their campuses or Hispanics on their campuses or Chinese on their campuses or whatever. And there was a preferential treatment towards the whites in all of these areas. That's wrong. I'm just telling you guys, that's wrong. But what we have to do is take that race out now, which they're going to have to anyhow because of these pronouns. But they got to take the race out. It all needs to be based on merit. If a person has a 4.0 GPA and they score well on the LSAT and somebody else doesn't score as well on the LSAT or doesn't have the GPA the same, whoever the best person is or medical school or any of these other engineering schools, anything that you want like that, they need to pick the best candidates so that regardless of race, I don't care what color they are, who cares? I mean, I don't care. I'd rather have a doctor who's black, who's a 4.0 from Harvard or an Ivy League school, who's somebody who knows what they're doing, rather than some yahoo who's white, who has no idea what he's doing. I mean, that's how I feel about it. You know, Dr. Howard Jackson, phenomenal, phenomenal neurosurgeon over in Tampa. He's worked with me before. He's African American, and he's a brilliant man. Love talking to him. He's all, and he's a wide awake patriot on top of everything else. See, we can't segment based on color. We can't do that. You say, well, you just did that with Howard Jackson. No, I didn't. I'm giving you an example. When I see true patriots, I'm colorblind. I don't see anything. I just see a person. That's all I see. You see, the problem that we have is that the universities aren't like that, and I hope and I pray that this legislation that Trump is now changing from the Obama mandates is going to be a lot better and stop some of this nonsense. I mean, this is so very, very important that people are not segmented by race. Because again, just the very act of doing that is racist, I will say, to Trump. Bravo. Very well done on that. Congratulations. What do you think, Austin?
Well, yes, this is a very sensitive topic, and I saw the article earlier today, and so what I did was, because I was curious about this, I've heard about this before, I actually talked about this on the show with earlier reports, I went on the AAMC, basically the medical school application statistics, on what the acceptance rate and the amount of acceptance and the acceptees and applicants and everything else from 2013 to 2016 into medical school. So basically all the applicants and acceptees into the U.S. medical schools for the last 4 years. So I wanted to look at some numbers on it because I wanted to see exactly what was the truth about this and if there was any issues with this, because I've always heard this all the time. People have talked about this. So when I pulled up the numbers on it, first off, if you guys know anything about the MCAT scores, MCAT's basically the medical school admission exam, basically in the medical school. And so anything about a 39 or 40 to 45, this is the old grading until it just changed this year, it's pretty much a perfect score in the percentile. There's no like specific score they give you, they put you in a percentile. So pretty much a 39 to 45, pretty much average of a 40, you're in the 100th percentile, meaning you're at the very, very, very top of anybody that takes the MCAT score compared to a 9 on the scale, which is pretty much you're in like the 1%. Percentile. You're like the bottom of the barrel who takes the MCAT. And then you basically have the middle, which is about a 26, and that's the 50th percentile, which still isn't a bad grade technically on the MCAT. It's a very hard exam. So that is the spread of what you're looking at. So I went in and looked at demographics on a 4.0 GPA with a perfect score on the MCAT. Right, so you basically aced the MCAT and you had a 4.0 through your undergrad. You pretty much cannot get any better than that, honestly. That you're the cream of the crop. There was 833 white applicants, 778 were accepted. So the 93% acceptance rate of a perfect MCAT score, perfect GPA. Well, then I looked at Hispanic Latino. You had 38 applicants in that range, and 35 got in. So it's a 92.1% application acceptance rate. So that's still pretty decent. Then I got the black and African Americans. There were 12 in that range, and 12 were admitted. So 100% of anybody in that range. Now, again, this is the cream of the crop. So like that said, if you got somebody that's acing it and they're nailing everything with a GPA, okay, I got it. But we're still looking at a little skewed numbers here. Well, so I went, okay, what's something a little bit more realistic? You know, this is top tier right here. We're talking 4.0. In undergrad, I got a 3.2 GPA. I thought it was pretty decent. I enjoyed my college years. I studied, but I also enjoyed my life, and I got a 3.2. And so let's look at a 3.2, and let's say you take the MCAT, you're stressed out the night before, you studied, but you don't do that good on it, but you still do decent, you get a 26. That's the 50th percentile. So we're taking it right to the middle. So I got a 3.2, and I got a 26 on my MCAT. So out of the white population, there were 1,736 white applicants with a 3.2 GPA with a 26 on the MCAT score. 145 got accepted. That is an 8% acceptance rate. So the likelihood of me getting into medical school with a 3.2 GPA and a 25, 26 on my MCAT is very, very slim. 8% acceptance rate is, that's not very good. So then I went and looked at the Hispanic weight, 3.2 on your GPA, 26 on the MCAT. Out of 452 applicants, 138 got accepted. That's almost a 31% acceptance rate. So that's starting to get fairly skewed right there in the numbers. Remember, this is a 3.2 GPA. This isn't horrible, but it's not very good, and you're not even coming close to acing your MCAT. This is like average. Well, then I went, okay, black and African-American. 498 applicants, almost 300 are allowed to enter medical school, almost a 60% acceptance rate with a 3.2 GPA with a 50 percentile on the MCATs. Those are numbers when you start going, okay, there's starting to be an issue here. Now when you go down on the white applicants, pretty much anything under a 2.8 to 3.0 is pretty much nothing. There's like one or two applicants accepted. Then it goes pretty much to zero all the way down. Then you go back to black applicants here, and I go all the way down to a 2.2 GPA, which is like all C's, with a 26 on my MCAT. 24 applied, 6 still got accepted with a 2.2 GPA in your undergrad. Guys, these are some skewed numbers here. We're talking about very, very, very high issues with what we're seeing here with the affirmative action on acceptance into medical school. And so that's something that's real numbers. You can go look them up online right now when we're looking at the fact that we're seeing a very, very skewed amount of individuals because of their ethnic background only, not on their GPA, not on their MCAT scores, not on any other aspect of what they're doing, but simply on their race. And as Dad said, that is not fair, and that can't be done because the simple act of allowing somebody to get in over somebody else based on their race is pretty much the definition of racism. So that's what I wanted to bring up when I saw this article today, because people hear about it. There's rumors, you know, in medical school, this school, that school. These are the actual numbers from the AAMC.com. You can go pull them up, the Association of American Medical College, and you can look at them for yourselves. And that shows you right there, just to reiterate again, white, basically, applicants with a 3.2 GPA and a 50th percentile on their MCATs had an 8% acceptance rate compared to 3.2 GPA black African Americans with a 50% MCAT score had almost a 60% acceptance rate. That is definitely skewed significantly there, Deb.
Well, and the problem, again, it's not that I have a problem with anybody going to medical school if they've got the grades to pull it off.
Me neither.
But I would much rather have a doctor who's brilliant, who had a high GPA, who went through medical school, who's black, than one who ended up going south of the border somewhere who's white, who doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. It's not a question of, I just want high quality. So the higher the quality we have as far as the grades and the test scores that we have, that we put people in professional programs, the higher quality of the physicians are going to be in most cases. Now, years ago when I was basically sub-hosting for Joyce on the Power Hour, I had a guy come in. His name was Bradley Dean. He has a website called Sons of Liberty, and he's got an article in here about why people are being basically hated who are white. And he said that the hate is also – I'm going to read you part of this article, so part of it I don't agree with. The hate is also promoted by the mainstream media, academia, and Hollywood. It's really a hatred of men, of Christianity, of American law and order, whites, especially straight, guys that are heterosexuals, conservative Christian men, they basically tend to hold these values and stand in the way of socialism. Here we go. Now I'm getting real clear here with this. They stand in the way of socialism, globalism, and moral decay. Christianity is hated because it says you must repent and admit you're wrong. Whites, liberals, and conservatives both have become weak, having been under attack for the past 60 years. For some reason, they've allowed these socialists and communists from these horrible, horrible countries to come here, legally and illegally, and turn the communities into those countries. We talked about this in detail yesterday. These third world people, then they vote against freedom and moral values, and they are brainwashed to hate white people, and they cry racism when any white, liberal, or conservatives disagree with them. Whites have sacrificed their children to socialist indoctrination centers, also called public schools, and leftist indoctrination in colleges and universities. And parents have failed to raise their children, both black and white children, to be strong and independent so they're not vulnerable to the lies of the evil world. They have become atheists. They don't get married. They don't have families. In fact, whites don't even have to make enough babies to replace the whites. We're basically going to die. This author goes on to say, now these say socialist children of Satan, the wicked witch of the West, Maxine Waters, calling for the harassment, intimidation, and violence against President Trump's cabinet supporters. The liberal media thinks they have a high moral ground, calling the president and his supporters Nazis, trying to spark assassinations and civil war. They don't value human life or morality at all. They're phony fact checkers. They deny the truth. Democrats that want open borders in order to fundamentally transform America and tear down and remake our country in their own socialist, communist, satanic image. The people of the lie have destroyed everybody. They've done it to every race because of what they've done to the for the moral degradation of the United States. Now, guys, here's the thing. Think through what I just said. Is it okay that we allow people to come into our homes via the TV sets or teachers to come into our communities or hardcore communists and socialists to try to indoctrinate our children? In some states now, they have pro-lesbian, homosexual, transgender films they show the students, and they will not allow the parents whose children are going to those schools to view the films because they don't want to have the backlash or the blowback from the parents. I mean, what part of that's okay with anybody listening to this show today? I don't care if you're black, white, Hispanic, Chinese, Korean, or a Martian. I don't care what you are. You know, there are certain fundamental principles that you have to have in a civilized society in order to maintain that society in a civilized fashion. And when groups of people come in and they promote anarchy and they have an atavistic hatred of Christianity, a deep-seated, generational, thousand-year-old hatred of Christianity, and they do everything to remake the image of the United States into their satanic brotherhood, you know, then you got to think through this and say, hey, maybe this isn't okay. Maybe I don't want to do this. Maybe I don't want my kids to be involved in this. You know, when George W. Bush, which is one of the worst presidents we've ever had, when he said he was going after the pornography industry 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago now, he could have gone in at that point and crippled that industry in Hollywood and California. Again, these are from the atavistic haters of Christianity because they want to destroy Christianity. I've talked about this many, many times. He didn't do it. Because then 9/11 happened with the inside job, you know, they had in the government. We had certain elements of the rogue elements of the government. I believe MI6 and Mossad were involved in all that. I've talked about it in depth on the show before. And we had all of this stuff happen with 9/11. We have our war on terror. You're either with us or you're for the terrorists. What kind of nonsense is that? The boy couldn't say anything on his own. He had to read a teleprompter for everything they told him to do. And this is the thing that we've ended up with now. We've got a generation, 20 years to a year later now, that's completely corrupted on pornography, completely corrupted to the socialistic school systems, completely corrupted from the pulpit because the pastors are a bunch of pansies who won't tell the truth about what's going on and refuse to acknowledge the fact that there's a problem. There, I said it again. I just said it again. And so we have all of these different things that are fighting against our children. Guys, if we allow this degradation of our social values to continue to slide down this slippery slope into hell, we're going to be living in a hellhole of a country within 30 years that we won't even recognize. And so that's why I'm so happy that we actually have somebody like Donald Trump who's willing to stop things like this affirmative action nonsense, willing to stop these imbalanced trade deals, willing to try to negotiate new things for our country, that's actually willing to say something. Now, here's where he's had a few shortcomings. He really should have jumped on the vaccination bandwagon. He should have said, hey, look, we got to talk about vaccinations. He talked about this during his running for president, about people coming down with autism after they were vaccinated. Haven't heard anything else about that at all. Haven't talked about it. And then he put somebody like Gottlieb ahead of the FDA, who's a big pro-vaccine guy. I mean, he's got to clean that mess up. Maybe he's waiting for the second term. I don't know. All I know is we've got to keep his feet to the fire. We've got to keep doing shows like this to tell him, hey, wait a minute, Mr. President, you told us you were going to do this. We need to do it. He also needs to find a way to nationalize the Federal Reserve Bank in the United States and not allow them to do all of this usury against us. He's got to do that. Even if he doesn't get rid of the Federal Reserve, if he nationalizes it and the debt from the interest goes back into the national debt that we currently have, we no longer have to pay that as a people on the money that we bring out in new M1, you know, releases, then we can dig ourselves out of this mess since the entire banking system is set up on this thing. So, guys, we've got to do something. Now, I heard a person just say yesterday on a show, I'm not going to promote it because this person's been a guest on our show before and probably won't be a guest again. And he's saying that Bill and Hillary Clinton should be completely and totally basically given a free pass and not go to jail. And they should be given $10 million as a basically a retirement thing for them for the rest of their lives and never be tried for this horrible, for the horrible child sacrifice, child trafficking, and all the stuff they've done to the Clinton Foundation. My response on that is absolutely not. They need to be tried in a court of law in front of everybody in the United States and basically shown for who and what they are and then sentenced accordingly and appropriately for what they've done. The Wicked Witch of Benghazi, I know she's got a lot of crap on everybody. I got that. I understand that she could probably bring down the whole government in Washington, and I know a lot of people are already resigning and basically retiring as of this term. I got all that. But that woman and that man and all the things that they've done, and I'm not even letting them off. This gay Kenyan guy with his transgender wife and all of the junk that he put us through for 8 years, all of his executive orders, all of them need to be rescinded. He wasn't even born in the United States, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of other scholars are concerned, and he should never even been president. His name should be stricken. It should be blotted out in the United States. There shouldn't be any mention of him in historical records. That's how bad this guy is. And the fact that he probably is going to get a pass also is egregious to me. Egregious to me. And then George H. Bush, the old Bush, who's old and senile now, his involvement with the CIA and the Kennedy assassination needs to be brought out and he needs to be exposed before he dies. He needs to be shown what he's done so that we all see it. The same thing with John McCain. All of these guys that we elected out of our good conscience to lead the United States of America, who turned into career criminals and were completely and totally corrupt, they need to be exposed for who and what they are and what they were when they were in office, and they need to be held accountable for their actions and their crimes, period. We can't be giving the Clintons a pass and a $10 million bonus. We as alternative news patriots, we can't think like that. That's not okay. We can't allow ourselves to be put into that type of mindset that these guys get to do everything they want, including rob, kill, steal, rape, and destroy. And we go, oh, by the way, here's $10 million. Now go on your way. Just leave us alone. No, absolutely not. What do you think, Austin?
That was very well said. The issue that we've seen, and this is everybody's just grown too accustomed to it, is that a large percentage of the government have now come to a point where they are fully above the law. And we see that with this exact concept, how Hillary and Clinton, I mean, all the way back from the 90s, from the MENA, Arkansas dope running. I mean, all this stuff has been going on for decades, and they've continually gotten passes and more passes and more passes. Read this again so everybody understands. The Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal and they are all endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among those are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their powers from the consent of the governed. These people that are in office are not there to rule over us with an iron fist and be above the law. They are there to rule beside us as they were governed by us, and they are to follow the same laws and be held to the same accountability that we are. If I commit a crime and I go to jail, why does somebody else in office commit the same crime and not go to jail? That's a simple question. It's not a hard question to answer. Because they are acting above the law now. And when you have a group of individuals that act outside of the law and are not governed by the law, they are basically criminals. That is what that has happened now, and nobody wants to talk about it. The fact that this individual that Dad heard is talking about basically pardoning the Clintons and, you know, basically allowing them to go freely on their way, no, I'm the same way. Absolutely not. And this is just something that people have to understand now. And the same thing back to what Dad was saying with vaccines a little bit ago. We have to keep pressing Trump to discuss vaccines. And I'm not even discussing talking about him going out and being a total anti-vaxxer. I'm not even 100% anti-vaxxer on some stuff. I think some vaccines can be very crucial if they're done properly, if they're built properly, if they're clean, if they don't have a ton of adjuvants, and they've been tested rigorously and thoroughly to make sure that there's no adverse conditions associated with them. The issue that I have so much with vaccinations is that as soon as you bring up the simple topic of vaccinations, you are pretty much shot down immediately, called a conspiracy theorist, anti-vaxxer nut job, and you basically need to be put in a paddy wagon and force vaccinated. That concept in itself and that response shows me that the vaccines truly do need a discussion, because how many other topics can we bring up and we can have a normal discussion about? We can talk about wars. We can talk about the economy. We can talk about policy. We can talk about all these different topics. But God forbid I bring up the topic of vaccinations. It's like forbidden now. That right there shows you that it's a topic that needs to be brought up and talked about. Whether or not we all agree on it, whether or not we all have the exact same thoughts on it is besides the point. But bringing up true, clear, distinctive reasoning and thoughts on what is going on, why we're seeing the autism climb, it literally astronomical rates now, why we're seeing things like asthma, eczema, severe allergies, all these different ailments going through the roof. At the same time, we've seen the vaccine schedule go through the roof. It's funny, you hear people say, well, you know, you don't vaccinate your children, you know, you're basically doing a disservice to humanity, because if your child gets the measles and then gives a little baby the measles and that baby dies, that death's on your hands. Well, first off, I try to take care of my children. I try to make sure they're not exposed to measles, hence why I don't go to Disney World. And so certain things are done in accordance to try to make sure the kids stay healthy. Secondly on that, if that whole concept is what you're basing vaccinations on, isn't the concept of once you get a measles vaccination, you're completely immune and you're never going to get the measles again? Isn't that the concept that they base vaccines on? If that's the case, why do you care about my child getting a measles vaccine if your child ends up being vaccinated with a measles vaccine and he technically cannot get the measles? That's another concept that nobody can seem to answer. So there's certain topics around vaccines that really need to be discussed. Just like I told you the other day, a couple weeks ago in Australia, the guy puts up the billboard, "Do you know what's in your vaccines?" Question mark. That was it. One question. And it got completely and totally shut down, lambasted, called every single name in the book, had the billboard removed, had basically a public service announcement, and the Prime Minister of Health come out and issue a formal apology to the whole country about this guy asking a question. That right there is proof that you need to have these discussions with people, and this topic needs to arise. Because, guys, if we can't simply have a talk, if we can't simply have a discussion or a debate about a simple policy, about a simple idea, about a simple policy of forcing people to be vaccinated against their will. That's a concept that I've never understood here. When people say, well, you know, every child needs to be vaccinated, it doesn't matter, it needs to be forced. So where's the line drawn when we start saying that the government knows more than we do, and they have the right to inject what any compound they seem fit into our cells and our children's bodies, all for the good of humanity and for the good of the herd, essentially, is what that comes down to. Where's the line get drawn there? Especially when we know and we've directly seen people and children die from these vaccines, come down with horrible illnesses, seen girls that are shot up with Gardasil basically go into full-blown paralysis for the rest of their foreseeable life, and all types of other ailments that we've talked and reported on over and over and over and over and over again. Yet nobody wants to have that topic brought up. That is a scary place to be, and that is something we can never allow ourselves to go into. Perfect example, too, of what we've seen happening over in China right now with the social credit system. I've talked about this numerous times, and Google is right at the top working with the communist government over there with this social credit system, which is getting more and more aggressive by the day. It's already mandatory now in China. You cannot opt out anymore. They're planning to have the full completion of the Google's AI credit system done by 2020. The scheme has already proved successful in controlling much of the Chinese and their personal behavior. The system's been integrated into various levels of government, ranging from city to vast national government. The most minute of infractions can cause a social credit score to plummet now. For example, prohibited behaviors in China that are tracked included speeding, stopping too close to an intersection, jaywalking, which is now determined by the GPS in your phone, touching the center lever shoulder while driving, eating too much unhealthy fast food because it says it drives up medical costs, drinking too much alcohol, which there's nothing good with drinking too much alcohol, but having your social credit score plummet because of that, visiting subversive materials that's blocked by the Communist Party, smoking in a non-smoking area, buying too many video games, posting fake news that the government deems to be fake news, oh, there's one right there, spending too much time on the internet. There's a multitude of consequences that occur now in China. Travel can be fully denied. Huh. What are we seeing in the United States now with the happening in the United States and no-fly list? And TSA compiling their own list of people that they find to basically be unruly or derogatory during screening. They put you on a list that they're not saying what they're going to use that list for now. Internet speeds are lessened in China if your credit score goes down. You can be denied a permit or even have your existing permit to work revoked to work. One can be denied housing, denied education for both yourself and one's children, denied credit cards, denied the right to even stay in a hotel. Good citizens, on the other hand, are awarded by higher matches on dating websites. They're given reductions in their energy costs and groceries and important resources. People with higher credit scores are given preferential treatment for hiring and also higher salaries. And it should be clear now is why the social media monopolies have censored all conservative thought and at the same time tracked, monitored, watched, and compiled every single bit of evidence they can basically take on you, because it is basically forbidden now to do anything on social media that they don't seem fit. The genesis of this control begins with a national ID card here in the United States, guys. Listen to me right now. In Florida, they have not mandated it yet. I just had to renew my driver's license. The only way to get a national ID card, they said, was basically to go down to the driver's license station and get a new one. That's like getting your teeth pulled going down there in Florida, going to get a new driver's license. And you could do it online for basically a couple dollars more, but it's not a real ID. And it warned me on it. It said, you will not be receiving a real ID chip driver's license when you do this online. You have to go down to the DMV to get a new one. Well, the issue that they're doing this across the country, guys, is very specifically, they're going to use these national ID driver's licenses to track, to monitor, and to record anything and everything you do on a daily basis. And then it will start coming down to the same thing that's happening in China. Oh, you basically had too many infractions. Oh, you've sped too many times. Oh, you didn't pay this on time. Oh, you didn't renew your license or your tag on time. We're basically denying you your driver's license. We're revoking your driver's license for 6 months and we're slapping you on the hand until you get better at doing what we tell you to do. This is where it's going, guys, and it's already happened in China and it's already fully implemented in China. So best believe it's coming to this country at some point in time, because China's not that far away from us, nor are they that far ahead in technology. This is a beta test in China to see what they can get away with, and it's working flawlessly. Right. The Chinese population is submitting in record numbers right now and doing everything they can to not have their social credit score lowered, because A, it basically shuts down your entire way of life. You can't get a job. You can't really travel. You can't stay in a hotel. You can't get a credit card. Huh, that kind of sounds like they're doing straight up basically restrictions on anything and everything you do, just like they do in other countries when they come in and they basically say, we're going to put sanctions on you. This is what they're doing. They're putting sanctions on the populace. They're putting sanctions on the citizens that don't comply. This is where it's headed, Dad. And this is why I brought this up again today, because so many people don't think this is on the horizon. If it's happening in China right now, we're only a few years away from this being implemented, or at least started to be implemented, in the United States.
It's Pavlovian conditioning. You're a dog. And every time you don't do it right, you get zapped. Every time you do right, you basically get a treat. And sooner or later, you want the treats. You don't want to get zapped anymore. If you take a stun baton to an animal, which you shouldn't do, they even make shock collars with dogs to train them that are hard to train. That you shock the dog if they don't do what's right, and every time you do right, you give them a treat. That's what they do. This is Pavlovian conditioning taken to the population because they're looking at the Chinese people as animals. And some of this good old communist indoctrination that we all came from animals is continuing to run amok. By the way, Japanese attorneys representing the HPV vaccine victims are now urging the government in Japan to completely and totally ban HPV vaccines. I mean, this is huge, huge news that we're hearing nothing about here in the United States because our news is censored, unless you listen to the Ted and Austin Brewer show. It's not censored. It's out there. Guys, I love you. I had the opportunity to pray for you again. It's so much fun praying for you guys in the morning. It's so good to watch God bless so many. He gets many letters and emails in that you're being blessed. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for being reciprocal with us. And you listen to the show and you support the show and you are part of our family. I appreciate you. I love you guys too. Austin, I'll go ahead and do the write up. God bless you guys. Hope you have a great 4th of July the rest of the day. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes, guys. And be safe tonight again. As I told you guys, if you're operating fireworks and mortars, they're a blast. We absolutely love blowing up stuff down here in Florida legally. And fireworks are always a fun time of the year, but use precautions. Don't be stupid. Don't be sticking your head over hot mortar cannons. Don't be lighting fuses and throwing them at people or any dumb stuff that I've seen down here. Use wisdom and use discretion. If you see somebody doing something that's possibly dangerous with fireworks, say something to them. I mean, we have literally thousands and thousands of people that get admitted to the emergency room every single July 4th for stupid things like this with fireworks. They're a blast, but use precautions with them. They are explosives, and they are very dangerous, especially the larger ones. If you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, healthmasters.com. I appreciate all the support. I got lots of good emails yesterday. I love getting great emails from our customers, and I love answering questions and helping people out, especially when they're customers and listeners and want to learn. It's a great thing, and it's really awesome to have such a base with you guys now, such a support base, a family essentially is what you are now. As we always say, the Health Masters family. To know you guys have our back and you guys help us out and we help you guys out, and it's such a reciprocal relationship. Really, really is a cool place to be, to help you guys and work with you guys on a daily and weekly basis. It's really an honor and a privilege, and I thank you for that, guys. Remember what July 4th is all about. Remember our independence and remember our freedom that we have to continue to fight for, guys, or we're not going to keep it any longer. This is something that is not going to stay if we don't fight for our freedom. It's simple as that. I read you the beginning of the Declaration of Independence today. This is what is going on. This is what we have to do, and we have to be strong and smart, and we have to stick together and support all of the patriot communities as one. I appreciate you guys. I love you. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. You guys have an awesome one, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.